أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Peace and blessings be upon you. The Awaita One Foundation presents Hajj Hasanain Rajab Ali in the holy month of Muharram, year 1432 Hijri 2010, at the Islamic House of Wisdom in Dearborn Heights, Michigan. For media downloads or to buy the DVD of this lecture, as well as for other media and educational resources, please visit us online at www.awaitedone.org or call us at 313-718-1196. The AOF does not necessarily approve of the contents herein. Selling this CD is strictly prohibited. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله. والصلاة والسلام على خير خلق ونور عرش أفضل الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وسيدنا وسندنا وشفيعنا ومولانا أبي القاسم محمد. وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين المأسومين المظلومين. أما بعد، فقد قال الله سبحانه وتعالى في كتاب المجيد وقوله الحق وهو أصدق الصادقين: بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. أم يحسدون الناس على ما آتاهم الله من فضله فقد آتينا آل إبراهيم الكتاب والحكمة وآتيناهم ملكا عظيما. صدق الله العلي العظيم. صلوات على محمد وآل محمد. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with this life in this world, where He has granted us mercy, much mercy and guidance, and a complete book, the Quran, a book which guides to that which is most upright. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has completed His favors upon us and given us the best guides possible, best role models possible in the world. Allah also has blessed us with an intellect, an innate nature to know what is wrong and what is right. For you and I all know that we hate when people lie to us. We hate when people kill. We hate when lives are taken unjustly. It is sad when you see an innocent person being killed. I mean, let's face it, WikiLeaks recently released, some of the Iraqi civilians just walking on the street, and they happened to be members of media, Reuters, and they were just walking around, and the helicopter came around and just shot them and, you know, killed them all. And then somebody, an innocent driver with children, sending these children to school, and you find that he saw these people lying on the ground, he stopped with his van, he came outside, and he started taking these bodies to help them, to take them to the hospital, and they came and they destroyed the van and they killed the people in there. Luckily the children survived. But it's horrible when we see this. It is a horrible world that we live in. It's a world in which so much injustice is taking place. And we have to make avenues for ourselves to say, what do I need to do to prevent these kinds of evils taking place in the world? What can I do to stop murder? What can I do to stop such treachery? And you might think, you and I might think, that we are very small pieces of the puzzle and that our effectiveness is really negligent. I disagree. I disagree. Those who are pushing the buttons up there are also individuals. They're also a few people. They're not a lot. But the majority, the silent majority, has acquiesced, as we call it. We have remained silent in allowing these evildoers to do their deeds. Hence they kill. And it's a good thing that this exposure is taking place. Imagine how much injustice is taking place as we speak right now that is not being recorded. That is not being videotaped, that is. Allah indeed records them. But what is our duty? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to understand the dynamics of life. So let us look at our souls now. We've been discussing the importance, and let me recap. The most important thing that will save us is to focus on the fundamental things the Messenger of Allah left us with. For we are convinced that there is no better human being that ever walked the face of this earth than the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're convinced. We are convinced that all the prophets that came were representatives of Allah. We are convinced that they delivered their message impeccably. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never send a messenger unless they deliver clearly the message. For Allah says, we don't punish a community until we warn it first. So indeed, any community deserving to be punished must have been warned. And any community that will be punished must have not only been warned, but must have exercised using their free will to reject Allah. Otherwise, it's not possible for an individual to be punished on the Day of Judgment. Allah is Arhamur Rahimeen. Allah never punishes anybody. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَظْلِمَ النَّاسَ شَيْئًا وَلَكِنَّ النَّاسَ أَنفُسَهُمْ يَظْلِمُونَ. Allah does not do even an iota of injustice to anything. شَيْئًا. It is insan who does dhulam on themselves. When we look at the problems of the world today, even poverty. A child came to me the other day saying to me, brother, I'm confused about religion. I said, talk to me. He says, I don't know. Is there a need for a religion? Should I follow a religion? We had a discussion. And I said, what is your belief in Allah? He says, well, I know God is there. I said, talk to me about Him. Who is He? Why do you need Him? Why does the world need God? Why is God so central? The whole event of Karbala, you hear nothing but one side praising Allah, submitting, only worshipping Allah, tasliman li amri. We are submitting to you, to all these transactions. Oh Allah, you are our central figure. Who is this God that is so important that families of the most, the highest qualities have given their families, their lives, their souls, their wealth, everything for this God? Who is He? Talk about it. Many of us don't. I'm serious, brothers and sisters. Many of us are busy. We say Allah. We talk about Allah when we're in trouble. To show you how abject the scenario is, I got a call from a sister a few years back. She says, Assalamu alaikum, Haji, I respect you. I said, thank you. She says, you know, there is this guy I really like, but my friend seems to like him, more. So now I really want him. You think I should start praying now? I mean, this is the kind of question again. Should I start praying now? Because I like this guy, I want him now. I'm listening to this conversation and I'm not making any judgments. You know, this is a good person. Obviously they're resonating something. They say, I respect you. Just because they respect me, there's nothing great about that. But the point I'm saying is, it's an honor that somebody's thinking that, should I pray? Oh, alhamdulillah, there's light at the end of the tunnel, alhamdulillah. But look at the abject level of our thinking. I say to the sister, I said, what do you mean you should pray? You should always be praying. Don't pray because only when you are in trouble like this. So what, you will pray so that you get this guy, and then once you get him, you'll forget Allah? That's not how it works. This is not a 30-day money return policy with Allah, you know? You go to the store and you say, what's your satisfaction guarantee policy? Then when I don't like you, God, I send you back. This is not the way it works. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Men who don't bargain for the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Here رِجَالٌ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about His representatives. But it's also women. This is included. This is not only for men. When Allah says رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about an elevated house. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ. Houses which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has elevated to be remembered through. فِي بُيُوتٍ أَذِنَ اللَّهُ أَنْ تُرْفَعَ وَيُذْكَرَ فِيهَا اسْمُهُ يُسَبِّهُ لَهُ فِيهَا بِالْغُدُوِّ وَالْآصَالِ. رِجَالٌ لَا تُلْهِهِمْ تِجَارَةٌ وَلَا بَيْعٌ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ وَإِقَامِ الصَّلَاةِ وَإِيتَاءِ الزَّكَاةِ يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is bringing a very clear picture that these are people that you have to look up to as your role models, ones who are going to guide you, people who don't sell, but they take the time to do dhikr of Allah. Allah says, look, I recited this verse, I'll describe it further for our remembrance. When Allah says, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ, in Surah Al-Ahzab, 33rd surah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. Your prophet is your best role model. لِمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُ اللَّهَ وَالْيَوْمَ الْآخِرِ وَذَكَّرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. The last part, I did not describe it the last time. You have to have a vision of the Day of Judgment. We have to hold ourselves liable, brothers and sisters. Death, which I'm going to talk about in the next few nights. The essence of death, what does the Quran speak about death? People always say, talk about death. I said, yeah, there is, inshallah, we will remind each other. For when we remember death in a positive way, we will be ready. We will never hurt a person. We will never hurt an insect. We will be gentle. We will be cautious. We will be careful with our use of words. We will be careful with our use of resources. We will never cheat anyone. We will never steal from anyone. We will never even violate our promises that we make to our families and to our people. Because we are conscious that Allah is watching me and I must be careful. That carefulness requires reflection, cogitation, meditation. If we don't do these kinds of mental exercises and we become just simply, you know, running around and feeding ourselves 24 hours a day and just being happy, whatever glitters we run towards it, then we become people who are brainless. Then when we die, we don't know the meaning of death. And you know, death does not discriminate. In our communities, I've seen young teenage boys and girls die, either by accident or by disease, or something gets them, and they die, or somebody kills them. And then you go to the funerals and see how the family is screaming and crying. They didn't expect it. If I stopped the clock the day this person was killed, go back even a few hours, go back a few days, you'll see him talking about plans, and this is what we're going to do, and this is why I'm doing this. We are planning. But we have no idea that something awaits around the corner that can grab us and change the dynamics of a family instantaneously. We are planning, we're thinking, yes, and then the doctor says you've got cancer. And everything falls like a ton of bricks on your head. So really? That's your mother? Oh my God. Allah says, what have you been doing to prepare? Were you remembering me? Were you conscious of me? Did you recognize me? Were you willing to give your life for me? Were you ready for me? For these trials and tribulations will come to you. At any moment, death does not discriminate. Be ready for it. How do we become ready? Readiness means always doing good. Always, Imam Ali alayhi salam says, always do good, lest Malakul Maut meets you in the wrong place. It is a tragic scenario to be taken, where your soul is taken when you're in the wrong place, for the world comes to know who you are. That secret world that we live in sometimes, and if people are visiting those secret places which Allah has forbidden, and our souls leave in those places, Allah is Sattar al-Ayub. Allah hides the ayub of insan. He hides our defects. Allah is Sattar al-Ayub, 100%. Believe me, all of us have so many dark spots. But Allah is merciful. He hides them. He makes us look good. He makes us pleasant. That's the mercy of Allah. Allah says, I am so merciful, I hide you. Now you hide others too. Don't get into the habit of exposing people's secrets and exposing their weaknesses. Work with them, help them, bring them closer. When you see a child doing something wrong, don't be happy with it. Be disturbed by it. Go to this child carefully, befriend them. Say, what can I do to help you? How can I get you out of this problem? I'm not going to pass judgment on you. Children come to me, say, brother, I have a bad habit. Adults come to me, brother, I'm ashamed to tell you. I said, it's okay if you feel ashamed. Brother, what can I do? I said, don't lose hope. Oh, but the community is going to damn me. I said, community is none of their business. This is a private business. You save it. Let's help you. We'll get it out. You're no better or you're no worse than anyone else. Don't think that everyone around you is an angel. We all have problems. But it's okay. We have to help each other. And love for each other. How do we help? When we are clearly in vision, this vision of the Day of Judgment, and having zikr of Allah, wa dhakar Allah kathira. What is zikr kathiran? When we say that you remember Allah a lot, what does it mean? All the time doing tasbih, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. No. No. Zikr of Allah is knowing the presence of God, knowing death is ever prevalent, knowing we are on a mission, knowing we have guides, knowing we have a scripture, knowing we have a moral injunction, knowing that we need to behave a certain way, knowing that we have to be patient, we know that we have to sacrifice, we know that we have to be kind and gentle and forgiving and loving and giving. All these qualities are replete, filled in the Quran. Constantly Allah is reminding us, do this, do this. These are the ones who I have chosen. Are you among the chosen ones? Allah is asking us. Let us be chosen. Let us have the dhikr. We need to think about Allah, brothers and sisters. I say this on this podium in the shahada of Imam Hussein. To me, nothing resonates more than the love of the Messenger of Allah and his Ahlul Bayt. Because they died for me. My parents will die for me. My family will die for me. It will never be universal and global. Although they, if they latch on to the path of Allah, alhamdulillah, which they have, then I know I'm its beneficiary, and they are the beneficiaries, and we are all beneficiaries. This is how Ahlul Bayt works. They say, لَا نُرِيدُ مِنْكُمْ جَزَاءً وَلَا شُكُورًا. We are doing this not for you. وَيْتْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا عَلَى حُبِّهِ. They gave it for the love of Allah, not for you and me. But who's the beneficiary? You and I. Miskeenan wa yateeman wa asira. That's you and I. We are miskeen. We are among the yateen. We are among the wayfarers. You and I, we are wayfarers. Asir. You and I are asir. You know that? We are wayfarers. You know what a wayfarer is? It's a person who's a traveler, who's lost. We're lost, many of us. We're living in a world we don't know which direction should we go on. Your arms are saying, we are giving you, we are guiding you. Among us, there are orphans. When you see the tragedy of Karbala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discusses them of who are these orphans who were so belittled. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about orphans, we'll discuss that. All these qualities are described. But fundamentally, let's look at our souls. Fundamental. What disturbs me the most is when an individual does not resonate towards Allah in the zikr, the right way. There is a right way. And the right way is first and foremost, you and I have to have strength in our usul al-deen. Our usul should be strong. Usul, tawheed. Believe me, in my life, where I felt the strength to go forward, to even meet professors, enemies of Islam, also public enemies of Islam, meet them eye to eye, it's when you have grasp of this tawheed. You say, I'm ready. And it's not a secret. And it's not some rocket science that you have to go to a hawza even to understand tawheed. Tawheed is closer to us than our jugular veins. نحن أقرب إليه من حبل الوريد. We are closer to you than your jugular vein. Allah is too close to us. Brothers and sisters, let's take time to remember Allah. He is our guideline. He is our morality. If we remove Him from the picture, we die. Believe me, we die. I've seen old people come to me. Say, you worship God? I said, yes. He says, keep up with it. There's nothing better. I was once in an adult home where all these old people are sitting, waiting to die. At the nursing home. And I walked in. Believe me, it was one of the saddest visions I saw. I walked in with my family to go and see a relative of ours. Distant relative. And I was sad. I looked around. There's people sitting on wheelchairs, waiting to die. They're just objects waiting. They're being taken into rooms where they're screaming, no respect for them because they're just objects. There was an old man, 95-year-old man, sleeping on a bed next to my relative. And he's looking at me. As soon as we walked in, his eyes lit up. And he was so excited to see us. He says, you are his relative? I said, yes, he's my relative. They said, so nice you come and visit him. Old man, he's talking to me. I'm looking at him with his white hair. Old man, really old man, is looking at me in his teary eyes. He says, I'm so happy you came and visited your relative. What is he telling me? I'm unhappy. No one's visiting me. Here I am. So I got into a conversation with him. And I said, why are you here? He says, I'm old. My family doesn't want me anymore. I'm old. They don't want me anymore. Oh, you want to put a dagger in someone's heart? Listen to an old man talking to you like that. It's like his whole life has come down to nothing. And the family booted him and says, go. You're a burden on us. I said, what do you do? He says, I'm a truck driver. All my life I drove trucks. And I worked hard to raise my daughters. I worked hard to give them a house. I worked hard to give them a life. I said, is your wife alive? She said, yes, she's at home. I said, why doesn't she take care of you? She says, I'm a burden. You know, all these discussions fall apart when you think this way. Because something's seriously wrong here. Seriously wrong. Now, if I was a mechanical individual studying biology and chemistry and talking about the Big Bang Theory and how evolution works, this is completely destroyed in front of me. Right here, there it is. It's talking to me in the spirit. But if we talk about evolution, for example, and say, well, evolution is the pathway that we all should follow. Evolution says get rid of the weakest link. Natural selection says get rid of the weakest link. Anybody who's a burden on you, get rid of him. So his family was practicing this modern evolution thought. Evolution is not bad, by the way, don't get me wrong, in the general sense, but this concoction of the idea that there is no God as a result of the system of revolution, it is nothing but a philosophy that's satanic. It's no science at all. There's no science in it. Okay? But if you talk about natural selection, you say, well, get rid of the weakest link. Here's the weakest link. 90 plus year old man sitting, and the family is saying, you're a weak link. You're a burden on me. Get rid of him. Imagine how evil this is. Your heart palpitates and says, what? Save this man. Give him consolation. Hold him. He's weak. He needs help. Like a baby that needs help. This is an old man who has reached to such abject levels. It's possible when you and I don't give the spirit. So I'm talking to this man and my mother is standing. She's also talking to him. Listen to this conversation. It's a lesson to be learned in everything. People say, did you go to the Hausa? I said, brothers and sisters, the world is a Hausa. Our community is a Hausa. Listen carefully. Open your ears. Watch and look around you. There is a lesson in everything. كُلَّ يَوْمٍ هُوَ فِي شَأْنٍ فَلِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Every day there is a sign of God. Which of my bounties do you belie me for? Allah says. فَبِأَيِّ آلَاءِ رَبِّكُمَا تُكَذِّبَانِ. Which of my bounties do you belie me for? So I'm having this conversation with this man. And the whole religion is coming in front of me. It's checking my innards, you know, my inside, telling me what you have learned. All these debates you've had, all these lessons that you've had, all this education you've had, all the trips in the world that you've had, what does it do for this conversation? I'm applying it. Rapidly, mentally, looking, I'm assessing, I'm looking at those people sitting on the wheelchair, all looking at me, staring at me. I said, wow, this is a revelation. It's reality. It's the pulse, it's beating. I can feel it. Wow, this is what it's all about, right here. It's it, right here. It's happening. This old man looks at me. I said, what did you do? He said, I worked all my life. I made money. Whatever I made, I took care of my family. I built a home. These are noble things. This man is not a bad man. He's resonating. Noble. But look where his weaknesses. This is a lesson for us all. We live in this society, we think the same way. Let me work, make my money, get my PhDs and doctorates. Okay, build my big palaces, talk smart, and the world will bow to me, and I have control, and I'll be happy. Having education, succeeding materially is extremely important. But so for some of us, that's the only thing. When they ask about salah, it's not important. How about Quran? Inshallah, we'll do istikhara when we need it. Or when someone dies, people say, yeah, my father just died. You have something in the Quran you can recite? You don't have a Quran in your house? No. What are you doing? You're a Muslim. The greatest book that was ever revealed unto mankind, you don't have it? He says, give me a CD. And then they put it on, and they're listening like that. Then it's like, yes, God, please come in between. This guy just died now. Do something. Put him in heaven, please. What is this? Who do you think we are? We're like flesh, pieces of flesh walking around, brainless. I'm looking at this person and saying, wow, why? Because they're so proud. Look at my house. Do you see my cars outside? Got a lot of money. I'm rich. I'm powerful. I got the governor in my hand. You know, when he talks, he calls. And I'm looking and go, La ilaha illallah. You know, if this you think is success, I don't mind. You got a palace, and you've got access to the governors, and you got access to the president. Alhamdulillah, more power to you. No problem. There's nothing wrong with it. As long as you're using it properly, no power to you. Where is your spirit? Where is your focus about God? Where is your akhirah? Where is your submission? Where is this God in you? Side. We'll remember Him when we're drowning. وَإِذَا غَشَّهُمْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعُوا اللَّهَ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ فَلَمَّا نَجَّاهُمْ إِلَى الْبَرِّ فَمِنْهُمْ مُقْتَصِدٌ. وما يجحد بآياتنا إلا كل ختار كفور. When the wave covers them, they pray to God sincerely. وَإِذَا غَشَوْ مَوْجٌ كَالظُّلَلِ دَعُوا اللَّهُ مُخْلِصِينَ لَهُ الدِّينَ. Sincere, yes God, please save me, sure. Allah says, look, while he was firm on this earth walking, he was exulting and proud that he thought that he is the big boss. Then when he came under my control for a few moments, when he felt his life is on the edge, that while he's in the sea and the wave is covering him or her, they prayed to me with sincerity. So I replied them and I sent them back to shore. And when I sent them back to shore, again they forgot me. How little are they grateful. Allah says, no one rejects my signs except one who is bent on rejecting. So this old man is talking to me. I'm resonating. I'm looking at my mother. One thing that said to me, and I'll talk about this my other night. That's your mother. That's your father. That's your wife. Respect them and honor them. You know why we have bala in our society? We don't honor the gift Allah has given us. When we have children, we're always dissatisfied. If I wish my son was this way. I wish my daughter looked that way. You have a wife, a beautiful wife. I wish she was like that woman. You watch Hollywood. Oh, you know, honey, I wish she looked like that one. Like, okay, she's your wife. Be grateful. How do you know who she is? How dare you say that? Imam Ali says, what are you thinking? You're looking at a woman on the street? Imam says, go home. Your wife is better. You don't even know who that woman is. What are you talking about? She looks outwardly that way. How do you know what lies behind her? And God forbid she's another man's wife. How dare you look at her this way? Acknowledge the gift. Acknowledge the mercy, the rahmah. لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِدَنَّكُمْ. If you're grateful, Allah will give you more. Look at them. Allah says, acknowledge them. Look at their faces. Can that be replaced? No. Everybody has parents. Everybody has family. Everybody has children. People who have children, that is. Look at them with dignity and say, Alhamdulillah, I have mine too. I'm honored. I'm grateful. I have a daughter, I have a son, I have a sister. I'm grateful. Those are mine. I cherish them. This old man is talking to me. The first thought that came to my mind, I looked at my mother. I said, Alhamdulillah, at this age, I'm still with her. I haven't dropped her. And Alhamdulillah, Allah, you have kept them alive. They are to me accessible. You can't believe, brothers and sisters, how much grateful I was when I was talking to that old man. I felt so grateful. I said, Allah, you have blessed me so much that you have given me so much. Allah says, keep looking. What you will find is so great that when I call you one day, you will love to come to me for what I have done for you. And I'm not special. All of us are special. Each one of you is blessed enormously. Enormously. We go out and do haram things. We date and we break up when we use foul language because we have not taken account of Allah's mercy. We are not grateful. If we are grateful, we will never be dissatisfied. We will honor what Allah has given us. We will not use foul language. We will not abuse each other. We will not abuse our mothers and our sisters and our community members. We can't. We cannot do it. We will see too much grace in them. We will see too much rahmah in them. So this man is talking to me. The conversation goes forward. That he worked hard. He saved every dollar for his children. What was the problem? I'm looking at him talking. And I'm thinking. I said, what potentially could happen to me lest I become like this old man? And I was thinking rapidly. I said, what are his mistakes that's brought him here? You know, he was so depressed. He was talking to me. He laid his hand out. He said, you see outside that door there's a yellow line there? You see that yellow line? I looked, I said, yeah. He says, you know, this is a prison. I said, really? What do you mean? He says, I can't cross that yellow line. I'm not allowed to cross that yellow line. You know that? I'm in a prison. Your brain just goes firing rapidly, like, wow, this is unbelievable. There's only so much you can do for a moment for this person. You can't interfere in his life. It's a collection of events, mothers, sisters, fathers, things we build. We build our own little empires, and we're stuck in them. And when a person comes and wants to help you, you see this gigantic task. You say, I can't just come and unravel this and bring you out of this prison. I can't do it. I just don't have the ability. I cannot. None of us can do it. Only miracles can take you out of this place, because it's too far ahead. You've gone too far. And something in my mind kept telling me, go tell the world, avoid this. Go tell the world, avoid this. Stop this. This is so prevalent in our society. Stop it. How do you stop it? The conversation told me how to stop it. In the conversation, I asked him, what did you do? He says, I made money, I bought a house. I said, how much did you teach your children? He says, I was a busy man. A truck driver is, you know, schedule is crazy. Sometimes in the dark of the night we're driving. Sometimes during the day we're driving. It was all over the place. I couldn't spend. My wife was the one who spent time with my daughters. And now my grandsons are there too. I said, your grandson? He said, they come once in a few months, 6 months, 5 months. They'll come and visit me for a few hours, a few minutes, not hours, a few minutes, and then they'll go. I said, wow, so depressing. Father was busy with dunya, surviving. Now I looked at him, I said, subhanAllah, I wonder if this man had Ahlul Bayt. If he had this Ashura, Ramadan, fasting, Jum'ah, Hajj, what if he had that? I was thinking rapidly. I said, probably he would have avoided this, because he would have been structured to think differently, possibly. But look, we have many in our community who are no different than this old man's predicament. No difference. Similar. But something in my mind told me that, look, the reason he's like this, he was so busy, he didn't raise his children to appreciate his value. There are so many parents today who worship their children. They worship them the wrong way. They give them the wrong things, thinking that's love. They flood them with material things. And when children are even rude, the parents don't even correct them. They say, that's my baby, that's my beloved. Tomorrow that same baby will become an adult and says, get out of my house. And then you'll be crying. I remember as a young child, I was about 12 years old. I used to walk home from school, and there was a nursing home there too. I used to sit with an old woman. There was an old lady who always used to call me. She says, come son. And I used to sit and talk to her. She was so sweet. It was a sweet old lady. I always used to have a conversation with her. Why are you here? She says, my son brought me here. He got married and he found me to be a burden. His wife said, I'm a burden. So she got rid of me and I'm here. I looked at her, I said, I'm so sad to see you. I would go home and I'd look at my mother. I said, I wonder if I, as a son, will throw my mother out tomorrow when I get married. No, I cannot allow that. I'll never allow that. I'll die and I'll never allow that. Because the rahmah of Allah with parents is too great. But it's not only parents. It's our spouses, our children, our brothers, our sisters. All of them have a position in life to be followed and respected for. So my mother interjected. She says, you know what you need, right? She goes, you know, my mother goes right for the jugular, which is alhamdulillah. She says, you know what you need. He looked, he said, yes ma'am. She says, you need to remember God. You need to just hold on to Him. Your family has abandoned you, but God will never abandon you. You won't believe this old man, his eyebrows were bushy. He sat up, he says, ma'am, what you say is so true. You are so right in what you are saying. You are so right in telling me this. Look at the hidayah. You give it, don't forget Allah. Your family will drop you, but don't forget Allah. Hold on to it. You should have seen this man. He was pointing a finger, that yellow line. You felt like he was about to die. He felt so like in prison, so dejected, so lost, so helpless. When my mother told him, don't forget Allah, God, He stood up. Like his back became strong. He said, "You're right, man. You're right. God is important." I said, "Look at an old man who has experienced this world. No man has greater experience in this world than an older person. They've got reason to understand. They've got understanding by experience." So this old man is looking at me and he's looking at my mother and says, "Yes, ma'am, you are so right." I looked at him and I saw him smiling. I felt good. I felt good. I said, he resonates with God. He understands that soon he's going to go back to his Lord. And he resonates. He sees it. He's understanding it. Ah, it's so pleasant. Brothers and sisters, it's so sweet. Just that smile when someone looks at you in the name of God, says, "Yes, worship God." You cannot articulate that word. You cannot articulate that expression. It's a complete message in a split second. That's why Allah says, وَذَكَرَ اللَّهَ كَثِيرًا. They remember Allah a lot. أَلَّا بِذِكْرِ اللَّهِ تَتْمَئِنَّ الْقُلُوبِ. Remembering Allah makes your heart calm. It makes it solid. It makes you rise. This is how members of Ahlul Bayt were. This is, they were constantly doing Allah's work. And the companions were like that. You look at all the companions in Karbala, they were like that. They loved Allah. They were so clear in their vision. Their tawheed was so clear. Their nubuwwah, their adalat nubuwwah, their imamah, their qiyamah, the usul al-deen was so clear. There was no room for argument. They were on the front lines fighting, telling each one about how important it is, this message, for this is what resonates right. This is what gives us success. This is what's going to take us in the right direction. They were so firm. Why? Because the experience of the love of Allah is so close to them. It resonates in their hearts. These are the people you and I must do dhikr of. All the people that Allah praises in the Quran, remember them, look up to them. Sisters, especially when it comes to your obligation in media. When Imam Hussein alayhi salam went to Karbala, he took women and children. And in his movement, he was strategic. I mentioned how he chose his people. Each one was a strategic media personality. Zuhair ibn Qayn, I mentioned him. Zuhair ibn Qayn had a story that Salman had told him that will come true. To finish that, when Imam Hussein meets him in that tent, he reminds him of that, what Salman promised him. That when it comes to this important event of Imam Hussein, fulfill it. And he remembered that. For Salman had told him way before that Zuhair ibn Qayn recognized that. And he joins Imam Hussein. But Imam chooses him strategically because Zuhair ibn Qayn came from a very reputable tribe in Kufa. Imam needed him. Imam took the women as media. I always say the media of Islam is in the hands of our women. Your jihad is motherhood and hijab. This is your jihad, brothers and sisters, especially sisters. Your jihad is the hijab. This is your jihad. Don't let the world silence you. This is the dress of modesty. It's the dress of power. Whenever I travel around the world, I say, even when I go to Europe, I go to Washington, I go any place in the world, I travel. When I see a sister on the street with hijab, it's immediately she's telling me, "Hey, behave. Look down. Be modest. Don't be indecent. Don't cheat. Don't lie. This is the flag of modesty. Do you see it? Follow it." Allah says, فَذَكِّرِ النَّفَعَةِ الذِّكْرَ سَيَذَكَّرُ مَنْ يَخْشَى وَيَتَجَنَّبُهَا الْأَشْقَى. Remind them. Reminding is beneficial. What better way than when a woman comes out of her house, she reminds herself and reminds the rest of the world. What power is that, brothers and sisters? I ask the world, I don't care if there's a Muslim and a non-Muslim in my society, I ask them the same questions over in academic institutions too. I said, find me a better role model than the modest lifestyle that has been placed upon us by God Himself upon mankind. Find me a better way. Zainab alayhi salam went to Karbala. Her sister joined. Even some of the women of the Prophet's family, his wife, some say Umm Salma, some say was present in Karbala. Whether she was or was not, the point is the women were there. The young and old, they were there. Why did Imam take them? Imam wanted them to be witnesses. and then they are going to be the ones who are going to rise. One of the wives of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, her name was Rabab. As you know, Rabab was one of the wives of Imam Hussein, and she gave her young son Abdullah as a sacrifice. As you know, Imam Hussein had a young son we call Ali Aswad. He gave sacrifice. I'll speak about him inshallah on the last nights of Muharram, on this 10th night, that is on the critical nights. And I think our presentations will go for two extra nights, so we will talk about the event post Karbala, how they went to Kufa, how Imam Zain al-Abidin went into Dimashq. We need to know this history. What happened to Ibn Ziyad? What happened to Umar ibn Sa'd? What happened to Shimr al-Joshan? What happened to these people? You will know. But please take look at them with respect. Look at them as role models. Infuse that into our children. Our children should be thinking of these personalities. I remember as a child, my parents, even my teachers, used to tell me the story of Imam Ali. And I used to cry as a child. I said, really, that was my Imam? He says, yes, that's your Imam. I'm grateful that they did that, so that it was settling in my heart clearly. So when my life became free, where I was able to go out and earn my own living, all of that which was planted in my heart became alive. The training of prayer, the training of reading Quran, all became alive. Parents, brothers and sisters, please train our children so that tomorrow when they become adults, let's not be like this old man who was so busy earning his livelihood, but he forgot to give them the spirit. He forgot to give them guidance. He forgot to show them the vision of why they live. He forgot to tell them about the day of judgment. That is why this happened. In Karbala, you find Rabab, the wife of Imam Hussein, historically was so masterful. She goes back to Karbala and she pitches a tent at the place where Imam Hussein alayhi salam was martyred. And she sat in this tent waiting for caravans to come. And every time a caravan would come, she would come out of her tent waving at the people, says, come, I want to tell you what happened here. Media. If the women were not there, the Bani Umayyah would have erased the event of Karbala. They would have made it like nothing happened, like what's happening in the military today. People are being killed and it's being hidden. No one knows until places like WikiLeaks comes out and exposes them. Otherwise, none of us would have known about this tragedy that took place in Iraq recently. Notice, it would have been submerged. But what better than when women come, the very family of the Prophet, proving the point that people say Islam has denigrated women and made them second-class citizens. This is proof that the media power in Islam is with women. They rose, Zainab alayhi salam rose and stood in front of an enemy and called him son of a freed slave. You, how dare you do this? He says, I have destroyed you. She says, I see nothing but grace from God. What wisdom Zainab alayhi salam spoke. Sisters, look at them that way. Teach our children to look at Zainab and Fatima to Zahra. Please, this hijab, this institution is too powerful. Motherhood is too powerful. Wifehood is too powerful. Husband, wife, father, I can go on and on. You get my message. Tonight I conclude very briefly that when we speak about old people, like this man lying in his bed, and he gravitates when God is mentioned. They were old companions. You know, tonight is the 7th night of Muharram. Tomorrow, inshallah, I promise you, I will speak about the family of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Historically, we know that when the battle started, it was common practice that in all battles, Badr onward, that the Banu Hashim always went first. The Prophet and his family went first. They sacrificed for Islam. So no one could dare say that anyone other than the family of the Prophet was the one on the front lines. Historically, all the battles that were fought, you find the family of the Prophet, Imam Ali alayhi salam, was always on the front line. Hamza was on the front line. All the Banu Hashim, you know, Aqil's family, all of them, Ja'far, they were all on the front lines. Then when the battle starts, then the companions would join. This was historical. In Karbala, it was reversed. Because it was known that this scenario of 20,000 plus will leave none of them alive. Hence, they decided that the Ahlul Bayt will go last. Why? Not because they were afraid, of course not. Because they were the spirit of Karbala. And you want to keep the spirit alive as long as you can. For that's what animates this defense. So what happened? All the companions went first. You find one of the first people to go was Abdullah ibn Umair Kalbi. Was one of the first people to go forward. He asked permission from Imam Hussein and he went. As I mentioned about Abdullah ibn Umair, he came with his wife, Ummi Wahab, and he became martyred on the battlefield. You find the companions went first. Habib ibn Madahir. You find Zuhair ibn Khayn, Muslim ibn Awsaja. You find all these names, Burair, Hamadani, all of them went forward. And Imam is watching them. And Abbas alayhi salam is on the front lines fighting. But you notice that historically, the ones who went one-on-one combat were the companions. Abbas alayhi salam, as you know, was on in the middle flank. The right side was Habib ibn Madahir, on the left side was Zuhair ibn Khayn. They were the ones who were running the army on the front lines. And they were 4 or 5 levels of attacks. They would go, they would destroy hundreds of them, come back and retreat. Then they would have a discussion or whatever scenarios take place. They'd go back and do a second attack. Or the enemy, they would attack the enemy would run. Then they'd back off and they'd wait. And then the enemy would come again and they would attack. And there would be another attack. And this attack went back and forth for 6+ hours. My God. How many members were actual warriors? The magical number 72. They were 32 horsemen, they say, and 40 foot soldiers. Or the reverse, whether they were 40 soldiers, 40 foot soldiers. But the horse riders were in that range. Meaning these were people who had battled before, who had fought in battles before. These were people who were seasoned warriors. Like, for example, Abdullah ibn Umair Kalbi was a seasoned warrior. When he came forward, he was a valiant fighter. Hur ibn Yazid al-Riyahi, a valiant fighter. He was known to be a soldier. They knew how they fought. They were soldiers who came, that people knew, understood. As soon as they came forward, they knew these were those valiant soldiers. So they fought. From morning, from Fajr constant, the battle continued all the way to Dhuhr. And even at Dhuhr time, Imam had more than half his army alive. Subhanallah. 20,000. They're showering them with arrows, rocks. They're pelting them. And they're fending it, and fending it, and fending it. This zeal. That little spark that I saw in that old man, that little spark that you and I have in Allah, it was in full motion among these people. One of them was Muslim ibn Awsaja. Muslim ibn Awsaja was a companion of the Prophet, and he was also a close companion of Ahlul Bayt, and he was a companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was an old man. Muslim ibn Awsaja was an old man, just like Habib ibn Madahir. They were both old. And they were both on the battlefield. They say Habib ibn Madahir was blessed with vision of the future, just like Maytham al-Tammar. They could tell what will happen. They even told Mukhtar Thaqafi. For example, Maytham al-Tammar said to Mukhtar Thaqafi, "You will be freed from the prison, and you will avenge, and you will be the one who will smite the face of Ibn Ziyad." And Mukhtar remembered that. This was how the power. Who told them? Our Imam did. Who told our Imam? The Messenger. He revealed all these events. So those of you who doubt, Karbala, was the Prophet involved? The Prophet was on the front lines. Subhanallah. Muslim ibn Awsaja, I conclude, went forward. He was one of those who was also Hafiz of Quran. What a pious man. Old man. He goes forward. And he is looking at the enemy, and as he's fighting, they subdue him. And they bring him down, and they smite him on the head, and he falls as an old man. Old man. I see the vision of that man sleeping in his bed, wondering why he even existed. Here's an old man who never gave up. And God honored him with such honor that there was never a moment of sitting on a wheelchair staring at the wall. He was animated. Allah. Constant, ya ayyuhal insan, innaka kadihun ila rabbika kadhan famulaqi. This was Muslim ibn Awsaja. I pray to Allah that all of us grow old. And when we do grow old, that we're animated in this direction, that Allah calls us even at the last moment, even if we're 100 years old, we are beneficial to society. We're beneficial to the families. That Muslim, as he's breathing his last, Imam recites the ayah of the Quran, that there are those who have sacrificed and that there are those who are waiting. Oh Muslim, how honored you are to leave this world. And Habib ibn Madahir, his close friend, comes to him and says, "What's your last wish?" Muslim Ibn al-Sajjah looks at him with weak eyes and just points a finger at Imam Hussein and says, save him. That's my last will. Save him, because قُلْ لَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ أَجْرًا إِلَّا الْمَوَدَّةَ فِي الْقُرْبَى. I want no reward from you that you have mawadda of my near ones. This السلام عليك يا أبا عبد الله وعلى الأرواح التي حلت بفنائك عليكم مني سلام الله. أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعل الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين، خصوصا سيدي ومولا يا أبا الفضل العباس وأختك زينب وبنتك رقية جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته. ربنا اغفر لنا ولإخواننا الذين سبقونا للإيمان ولا تجعل في قلوبنا غلا للذين آمنوا ربنا إنك رؤوف رحيم. وآخر الدعوان الحمد لله رب العالمين، والسلام عليكم جميعا ورحمة الله وبركاته.